Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to another Arseblog Arscast right here on arseblog.oleole.com ahead of what is going to be a very intense weekend of football. Well, the bit between 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock on Sunday, that's going to be intense. The rest of it, well, it's going to be hype and build up and drums and Arsenal fans don't need a great deal of stirring up, do we? You know, when it comes to Chelsea, there's not a great deal of love lost. I mean, there isn't the same history of rivalry like there is against Tottenham or Liverpool or Manchester United, but the nouveau riche Chelsea and their chavvy ways has created a rivalry which is quite intense. And the fact that they seem to beat us quite a lot in important games and cup finals and semi-finals and things like that. And, of course, the fact that their team is absolutely chock-a-block with the biggest cunts of all time. John Terry and Didier Drogba and that left-back fellow who will be back and who I hope will get an intense reception from the Arsenal fans. People might say, oh, it's all in the past, we should get over it. No, hatred is good. We can use our hatred to make noise, to encourage our team. So that's all to come. We'll be looking ahead to the team news and all that kind of stuff. As well as that, it's a bit Irish-tastic, this Arsecast, because with me in a few moments' time will be comedian and writer, TV presenter, columnist for The Guardian, Arsenal fan and Irishman, did I say that already? I think I did. Dara O'Brien will be on the show in a little bit. Also, Sylvester's here. We'll be looking at why it is that everyone else thinks Chelsea are reprehensible and filthy and horrible and thoroughly dislikable, but Chelsea fans don't. What's going on there? Some scientific analysis from our favourite professor will be along too. Also, a Savile Rogue scarf to give away with thanks to my good friends at Savile Rogue, as well as the winner of last week's Savile Rogue scarf, which is, of course, from Savile Rogue. 100% cashmere, you know, and don't forget, up until December the 6th, you can get a 10% discount by using the code ARSBLOG at checkout. So if you're going to buy some Christmas presents, you can get those brilliant scarves and 10% off by using the code ARSBLOG at checkout. Now, since the last Arscast, what's happened? Well, up and down. Good and bad, you would have to say. Last Saturday was not the good. It was the bad. Because we lost away from home. And the game, maybe we got a bit unlucky. The whole they only had one shot on goal and it went in and we lost the game. It only happens once every 200 games, said Arsenal. Seems to happen quite a bit to us. That, you know, they get one shot on goal and it goes in and we have a load of shots and none of them go in. Either we're really wasteful or every other team in this league is lethal when it comes to their chances to goal ratio. Yes, they got lucky. The guy standing there had no clue when it hit off his leg and rolled into the path of Darren Bent, but then neither did our defenders or our goalkeeper. Darren Bent put it away and a 1-0 defeat, we couldn't win. Away from home again, and that's a bit of a worry. 3 away defeats and, you know, maybe we're just a little bit not as good away from home as we should be. Because at home, we're brilliant. 11 wins out of 11 at home this season. The Grove is a fortress. We're scoring goal after goal after goal. But away from home, we've lost 3 times in the league. And that's just maybe a little bit of a worry, I think. And particularly as we all wondered what would happen if we didn't score. Because we've been averaging, I think 3 goals a game this season. And when we don't score, can we hold out? Can we keep a clean sheet and at least get a point? The answer, unfortunately, was no. So it's a little bit of a worry. But hopefully something we can put right in the weeks ahead. Midweek, though, Much better. Qualified for the knockout stages of the Champions League for the 10th successive season. I'm not sure how many teams have done that. I think I read somewhere in the past that only three other teams have done it. I could be wrong, because I tend to remember things that haven't actually happened, or I think things once, and then it lodges in the back of my brain as if I read it in the Daily Mirror or something. But anyway, it's a great record. A 2-0 win over Standard Liège. Good goal from Samir Nasri. Lethal finish. I thought that was a brilliant finish on the half volley. And then Danielson's thunderbolt from 30 yards, which moved all over the place. The only downside, of course, was the injury to Kieran Gibbs, which means we're a little bit lightweight in the left-back position, I have to say. Little bit all over the place. Because Traore, I'm not sure. He got pulled all over the place against Sunderland, who are a decent side. But when you're playing a really, really good side like Chelsea, and we are playing them on Sunday, I think I might have mentioned that, it'd be really worrying to see where he might end up on the pitch, or, you know, how exposed he gets. The other option, of course, is Sylvester, who might be needed at centre-half if Gallas doesn't recover from his injuries, and that is scary in itself. Paranormal Activity, made on a budget of $25,000, whatever it is. Nuh-uh. Sylvester, for a budget of £700,000, is far more scary, particularly when you consider who he's going to be playing against, if he plays. Maybe we could switch around and play Aboué or Sagne at left-back, but that's all to come. We'll be looking at team news ahead of the Chelsea game a little bit later on in the show, and other stuff too, of course. Now, I said this was going to be a fairly Irish show, and my next guest is fairly Irish. In fact, I would go so far as to say he is completely Irish. Comedian, writer, TV presenter, all those things. He's loads of things. He's about six things. Which is a little bit greedy, if you ask me, but never mind. I'm only a couple of things, but you know, I've got time. Dara O'Brien, welcome to the Arsecast.
How are you, Em?
I'm very well, thank you. We're about the same age, you and I. I'm curious as to how you became an Arsenal fan, because when I was a young man, I lived in England, and it was the attraction of the Irish players, I think, that brought me to be an Arsenal fan. Yourself, did that have a part to play?
Enormously, although I have at this stage cultivated a story just to piss off hardcore fans, where I say, if they say, how did you become? I go, well, when I got on the telly, I had a bit of money, and I thought, I should pick a team, and I've always loved the colour red. And that's just to irritate the real hardcore, where were you when fans get on my pitch anyway. No, when I was eight, it was Terry Neal as manager, and it was seven Irish players in the squad for the 1980 FA Cup final. But it was when it was Brady, obviously, Brady, Stapo, and Jennings. And I was saying this to O'Leary, I met O'Leary once. In the way that you bump into these people, I met O'Leary once, and I did that gushing thing that you do. And I said, oh, so seven Irish. And he kind of went, I don't think Sammy Nelson would like to be regarded as Irish. It's fair enough.
Yeah, there was that. I mean, I think at that age, you didn't know that you weren't supposed to like those guys, you know?
Yeah, exactly. We weren't aware. There was no green and orange. It was just red. So they all got put into it. But it was astonishingly Mick-tastic, the team at the time. And then, you know, Graham came in and basically cleared them all out. Although, you know, I think I've said this a number of times before, of the greatest betrayals of my life, Stapleton going to United was the one that hurt most.
Yeah, I remember I was going to bring up Liam Brady going to Juventus, because that hurt me. I think I was about eight or nine when that happened. But I was just thinking, imagine if we had to go through that kind of thing nowadays, because there wasn't the same coverage of football. You didn't have the blanket coverage on websites. Imagine going the torture of 3 years of transfer rumours about Liam Brady going to Juventus now.
Jesus, yeah. But then when he goes, just disappearing, just gone.
Yeah.
Like, I occasionally did see a photograph of him in a black and white striped top, as opposed to the following Tuesday seeing Cesc play for Barcelona or something, which is the way it is now. But yeah, no, the ridiculous. I mean, at what extent, so now we're drifting off, but at what point, what does Cesc have to do exactly to convince, I mean, what is the illusion in sports journalists' heads that simply because Barcelona keeps saying it makes it somehow compulsory? Well, he's got to go. He's got to go there, you know, to be mentioned again. He's going to go. He has to go now. How does that work exactly?
I don't know. I mean, it's typically Spanish the way they keep bringing it up in the papers over there, because they have the newspapers dedicated to football every day, so they've got to have something to put in there. And if you have to do it every day, there's going to be a certain amount of fiction or repetition, you know. But it's the fact that they report everything as fact, just because it's in a foreign newspaper.
Well, just because it's, and like, even they, more than anyone, should know this stuff is made up. So why are we colluding and continuing to say? Because it'll always stand on the rock of the reality of asking the man a question, him going, no. And them going, oh, well, you said in an interview that you had a nice time with your family last weekend when you went overseas in Spain. Does this not mean that you want to go to Spain? Like, it must drive you insane. It's one thing I've always wondered about, the reality of sport generally versus, you know, how it's... It's just a ridiculously over-the-top way that it's reported, says a man who writes for the paper. For example, how do we know people's wages? Why do we know that?
I don't know, actually.
Who reveals that? Why would... No, you don't know my wages. I don't know your wages. Nobody knows those people's wages except, you know, major broadcasters, perhaps, public, you know, pay levels, pay grades in the civil service. But why would I know what somebody gets per week?
It's a good point, that, actually, because, I mean, surely, especially at a club like Arsenal, where they're so secretive about information coming out, they don't say Emmanuel Adebayor has signed a new contract for £80,000 a week.
Yes, I mean, a friend of mine makes a very good point of why is it still a week? They don't keep up at a hatch. I get presented with a brown envelope with the stuff in it. Like, you know, you better fill out your emergency tax, Emmanuel, because... You know, you're getting done here at the moment.
There's a couple of 20s missing here.
Exactly. Why is it still done? It's this ridiculous idea that it's still a working class game for the players, at least. every week. Yeah, that's what, when the figures are so insane. But like, I've always been intrigued with that. I've got to write a piece. I'm short of a piece for this week, so that might be. This week's piece now. Why do we know so much?
Well, you're living in London now, and I suppose some people might say, you know, you move away from Ireland because it's a much smaller country and the opportunities are much less great. But, I mean, was it just for career, or was the real reason that you could go and see Arsenal every week?
Listen, I will say this much, that the first flat I ever bought, you could see Highbury from the window on the Holloway Road. Now, I don't live in that side. I live in West London now, because it became... In fact, I moved to West London just before I got the season ticket, because I'm one of the 22,000, which is a tag I like to... You know, which no one else has ever picked up before. I'm one of the 20,000 who got in, who were pushing against the gates and got in. So now I make the long step back over the Holloway Road, despite having lived around that area for most of my time in London. Yeah, there was an element of, if I'm going to live anywhere in London, let it be close, just to that sense of, you know, the atmosphere of it all, and, you know. But I will say that when I went in, I mean, I was always... There were times in which, you know, probably when I was in college, that I wasn't following him as avidly as other years. 1995, I don't really remember much. When I went into work, football became very important. When I got the season ticket, I went almost insane with how sort of it became. I think he's constantly on blogs and checking stuff out, like, and, you know, drip, drip, drip of news now type stuff. Like, I think I went bananas with the excitement of it all. I think I may have calmed down a bit now, about 4 years in.
A little bit.
Only a little bit. Do you know what the actual thing is? When you finally get into it regularly, it's a completely different sport. Because it's not that one box moving around. You can see the movement, you can see the shape. I don't have a football education, which becomes very evident, I suppose, when you start writing. I've got to write a piece at some stage in which I basically go, I've done this for a few weeks now, I don't know where the hole is. I know there's people in the hole, but I'm not strictly sure where... And is it near the channels? Is it left of the channels? Where exactly are... Somebody has to sit me down with a chalkboard, because I wasn't... When I was 14, I was playing hurling.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so I didn't get that education that other people got. So, but until I then began to go to the matches regularly, and suddenly... It's like that, you know, suddenly you're in white, suddenly you're going, hang on, that guy's running. Oh, yeah, now I see what the hell people are talking about. You know, the famous example people always give is of what's-his-face's goal for Brazil against Italy. Captain, last minute, whatever, the fourth goal. Carlos Alberto.
Oh, yes.
Carlos Alberto's fantastic punt. Where Carlos Alberto, Pele just rolls the ball into empty space. is my memory of it and Mosu's memory of it. And then from nowhere, Carlos Alberto enters stage left and then hoofs the ball into the corner. And you're going, where the hell did that come from? Now, obviously, at the match itself, you could see Carlos Alberto moving. You know what was happening here. There's 3-on-2, whatever. He rolls it out, and the guy coming in from the wing scores the goal. But if you're just going to watch it on television, you don't see that. And suddenly going to the matches regularly is like, Jesus, this is a whole different sport.
And you're writing for The Guardian now. Is that, are you using that education when it comes to writing things? Do you find that helps when you're, for example, reviewing the two video games?
I mean, I'm not saying that I took all of my knowledge from FIFA, although again, that I'd offer that fuel up for people who want to think I think occasionally I might be showing up, but I think it's useful, much like being, professionally being the Irishman, being slightly foreign alien is useful for me in telling gags about England. It can be useful to take a step aside. Now, the one joyous thing, and you know this from comments, God, it's a world of pain out there. Absolutely blind. How dare you say this? It's ridiculous. The bit that really gets me is the you can't talk because in such and such a match, such and such a year, a thing happened. So therefore, you can have no opinion about diving or whatever.
Well, I think you're unfortunate in the sense that, when I write on my blog, that for the most part, the people that come on are other Arsenal fans. And of course, there's disagreements, but you're sort of set up there for all the fans of other teams. And I mean, when you're writing throughout the season, you're going to have to, I suppose, be diplomatic and dogmatic and possibly even nice about other teams. Is that going to be a bit of a chore? Difficulty?
I'm aware that the... I also have a living to make here. I can't be just using it I can't just be waving a giant red and white flag and writing about, the scum every week. Like, so yeah, there's an effort to be slightly balanced about it. Like, I mean, even when I was doing Adebayor, and the great heartbreak that was the Adebayor rather than just going, it was terrible, it was disgraceful, how dare he do that, it was more about, isn't it weird the way you love somebody and then you hate him and then it gets really ugly? And so you're trying to generalise it and find the funny in that, rather than just do 6 words of Adebayor the bollocks repeatedly, which is my initial take on it. So there's a lot of that kind of thing. You've got to find a clever way around it. What is amusing in one way is the fact that people who are pseudonymous, like who call themselves Super Red 73 or whatever the hell name that they have, think that they're going to write something cutting about you. An anonymous insult carries zero weight.
Yeah.
But still people chuck them in. But it's more the fact that there's no level of empathy in it. I mean, to pick the Ireland match, which was, there were like 360 comments on a piece of the Ireland match, which I didn't actually join in the chorus of asking for replays or castigating Henry or any of that kind of stuff. Like, I just kind of gave a kind of resigned view of it. And I was more pro video refereeing, which never took off as a debate. It was just, how dare you Irish, typical whining, didn't you once get a penalty you didn't deserve against Georgia, so therefore you don't deserve to. And that was hundreds of those. And you're kind of going, that's, not really. But we've all, beautiful quote, you never hear the English complaining about hand of God. That was one of the very, my favourite quotes. Like, you're going, oh man, this is great. I mean, we're fantastic, but we're blind, which is one of the joys. We, as football fans, are just completely blind to anyone else's situation.
All right, then. Well, Chelsea coming up this Sunday, and it's a really big, important game because of the state of the table. They're 8 points ahead as it stands, although we do have a game in hand. Are you confident that we can do it, especially without, let's say, Bentner and Robin van Persie, who are big guys, and Chelsea are a big physical team full of big bollockses, and we're a bit small, aren't we?
We are small, and we're getting smaller and smaller as time goes by. It seems to be just breeding them tinier and tinier. I'm not necessarily confident, irritatingly, particularly because I thought at least that it would all be balanced out by the fact that Lampard would be playing, but apparently he is now.
And he got placenta like Van Persie, but his his appears to have worked.
Oh, really? He didn't present anything as well. He didn't present anything as nonsense of the highest order. The, my other great passion is debunking nonsense like that, and I've got to leave the presenter off for a few weeks until it does the job with Robin. But she's gone done a runner, apparently.
Yeah, yeah.
The last Serbian alternative therapist to have made the news was, if I'm not mistaken, either Slobodan Milosevic or Radovan Karadzic, who had hidden after war crimes as an alternative healer. Because frankly, I'm not, you know, holding out much hope, and I would do a much more stringent background check.
Yeah, not much of a track record there.
No, it's not, is it? So, I'm very worried about it. I mean, we need to win. I mean, if we lose, we're 11 points back. The game in hand thing is just kind of, I know the game in hand is against Bolton at home. So at least we know what the game in hand is, and we know that we should win it. But the last couple of results have seen us slip back irritatingly from a point where we were could have been nominally top of the table a few weeks ago, which I would have enjoyed enormously. In fact, we would have been top of the table. There's one point where we would have been top of the table because we had a 12 o'clock match. When was that one? Just after West Ham.
Right.
Had we got the win against West Ham, had we won the following day, we would have been top. We would have been able to do that chant at the end of the match. and instead, we do get the West Ham, and then we're 2 points off in it all. And since then, you know. But, God, we're almost out of November. That is one thing to hold to. I am very worried about this. You know, I mean, literally, they turned around this time last year in almost exactly the same fixture. But RVP was playing that day and was very, very good that day. I'm glad Danielson's back. I have to say, Danielson's song and Cesc, I'm very happy that it was midfield.
Good goal the other night from Danielson
as well. Fantastic goal, yeah. I mean, jammy as fuck, like. Huge, great swirling toe poke of a kick. But and every replay, it seemed to twist in a different axis. We shot it from above, it seemed to go up and down, shot it from there, they went left and right in another angle. It was quite impressive.
But Arsene said that was because of his Brazilian ankles. He's got Brazilian ankles, whatever that means.
One guy's got a chocolate leg, and he's got Brazilian ankles. and this is why you got fucking marmalized foot Gibbs, which is a horrendous.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those "I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal" t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort with thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arsblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arsblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/arsblog.
Tremendous fucking challenge. They got really snippy towards the end.
Yeah.
Liège. They were going in for everything. And you could see something like that was going to happen. Like I haven't seen the replay of the Cesc thing to see what it was like close up. But just for the last half an hour, they knew they were out, or they knew they were certainly out of that game. And they just started kicking out. It was bizarre.
We do get a bit unfortunate with injuries as well, don't we?
Yeah, we're not blessed with it. Again, you know, this might be just a lack of perspective that a fan of one club has. I'm sure the clubs would make the same complaint. But, we were epically bad last year when we lost Cesc and Robin. But and then we lost Terry before that and Robin. It hasn't been ridiculous. But this one, yeah, I mean, particularly when we lose it, at the position that we think we keep churning them out in, which is left back. You've lost two left backs. You've lost one left back, et cetera, et cetera, but you've lost two, you know. And Traore, I'm massively not sure about.
Yes, I would share your reservations there. The squad in general, how do you see it come January? Would you like to see him put his hand in his pocket? And if so, where would you like to see someone come in?
At the moment, the only place I think would be as a cover for Garrison Van Bellen. I'm saying that with the injuries even at left back that we have. I am generally relatively happy. I sat down at the start of the season and tried to count them off and realized that we essentially have two players for every position. And particularly in the 4-3-3. Where we have a block of six or seven midfielders and a block of six or seven attackers. I'm relatively happy with that. I'd love our first 11 to be up for Sunday, but generally I'm relatively happy with that. But either Gallagher or Vermaelen gets injured. I mean, what happened to Senderos? Where's he?
Don't know.
You know, he was once a great white hope and now is not even making the bench in front of Sylvester. I mean, that's not
that can't be doing much good for his confidence either. I mean, if there was somebody better than Sylvester, but
yeah, I know. God love it. Sylvester isn't the worst I've seen in that position. He's terrible. And there is a point to be made for all of our talk about Vermaelen and how much more comfortable Gallus is. We're still shipping goals at the same rate we always were. We just happen to be knocking a four match in on the other end, so we're doing okay. It gets covered up, but I'm not entirely sure it's working back there. This is the one match I think in which we might be exposed by it.
Yeah, well, you see what happens when we didn't score against Sunderland last weekend,
and they get the one chance and they score. Yeah, and exactly. Then we're Vela is the big enigma for me at the moment.
Yeah, because you fancy him?
I enormously love him. Think he's fantastic. He could be glorious, but at the same time, beginning to have that sneaking thing of, oh, this isn't working out, is it? So he's not quite there. He's running around a lot, but he's running. He's a tendency to run in between five defenders. Like, he'll suddenly hair off and then take a left where he should have gone right, and suddenly he's calling for the ball. And, you know, how do you expect it to get to you? There's nine of them between you and the guy with the ball. Like, so he's, and this competitive, this measured, composed finishing that we've seen him do before against, admittedly, Paddy Kenny. But we've seen him do it before. Just doesn't seem to be appearing. He goes down very, very quickly when he's in the league.
All right. Well, look, we'll leave football talk there. Just one final thing. Obviously, you've got a book out at the moment, and coming up to Christmas, people need books.
People need gifts for people they're not sure who to buy gifts for.
Yes, and books are the obvious ones. Yes, yeah. It's called Tickling the English. Just give us a little bit about what it's about.
Basically, I do these massive tours around the UK doing stand-up tours, and this is one of those tours last year, and while on it, decided to have a little bit of exploration around the different the towns that I went to. It's kind of a tour diary and travelogue, a bit like Bill Bryson, a bit like, you know, Paxman's view of England, but in a much more contemporary kind of a way. And from that, then I jump off and say funny stories, things that happen in the show, during the shows, or things that happen in the tour in general. So it rollicks along. It's a great old read. I'm very happy with this, to be honest. It's so long since I read the thing and he wrote it that I'm already in my head ready for the next tour. So it kind of feels like the chronicle of last year's tour. But it's going very well. I'm very, very happy with this. But the whole aim of this was not necessarily, by the way, to plug a book.
No, of course.
This is just two gooners shooting the shit.
Absolutely.
About their team. That's all that was.
But I mean, I would expect in similar circumstances you to allow me the chance to promote my book were I to have one. You know.
Of course. Have you a book out?
No, I don't.
But given a chance, I have no doubt.
I will
say this, though. A complete stranger came up to me not long ago, and we're just chatting. And turned out, he said, oh, you're a gooner. Oh, my God. Yeah, how you find the moment? He goes, well, you know, oh, the interlull, I hate that. A guy I'd never met before. I didn't know him. You have added something to the language, my friend.
Yeah, it's good that. It's everywhere. I'm quite proud of that one. All right. Well, look, we better leave it there. Dara O'Brien, thank you very much.
An absolute pleasure.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dara O'Brien, thank you very much to him. Very generous with his time and very patient with a couple of telephonic mishaps at the start and in the middle of that, but it wasn't any big problem to him. He is on tour as well around the UK. All the dates and venues and what have you are on his website, which is daraobrien.com. And if you don't know how to spell that, just put it into Google phonetically and it'll bring you the right result, which is fantastic. The awesome power of the internet. It can make Irish language accessible to everyone. Brilliant. Can't argue with that. We'll be looking ahead to Chelsea and finding out a bit more about Chelsea fans in a little bit. Right now, though, Sylvester.
Hello! everyone, it's me again, Sylvester! You know, it looks as if I'm not playing the game on Sunday against Chelsea. William Gallacy has this problem with his eye, and if he can't see, then he can't play. I will take my place in the center of defense, and I know many Arsenal fans might be a bit worried, but I can reassure you that I will give everything to win the game. I will be strong and powerful. I mean, the last thing I want is to be chased around and then shafted by Didier Drogba. Yes, that is the last thing I want. Open!
More Sylvester on another Arsecast in the very near future. Now, this week, what happened? Well, other stuff was Sanchez Watt extending his contract, following in the footsteps of Eduardo, who extended his contract last week. And also Alex Song put pen to paper and extended his contract too. And I think it's fair to say that Song has probably been the most improved player I've ever seen. Certainly this year. Maybe. I'm not trying to cast aspersions on anybody here, but Song certainly improved towards the end of last season, but maybe now you look at a footballer that's more focused, more in tune with what it takes to be a top-class player. And whether that has anything to do with the departure of another very tall African guy, I'm only speculating. But there were some suggestions that there was a bit of a party thing going on with Adebayor, and Song is still only a young man. I know he's got kids and a wife, so he can't be on too long of a leash, but maybe he was impressionable to a more tall African guy. And without this more tall African guy, he's been able to concentrate on his football a bit more. I'm just throwing it out there. That's all I'm saying. He has become a very important part of the team, and fair play to him. He's got a new contract, and let's hope he can keep it up. Eduardo got a new contract, and I think Eduardo needs to score some goals. Starting Sunday would be a very, very good idea against Chelsea. Some team news on that still to come, as well as your chance to win a Savile Rogue scarf, and I'll give you the winner of last week's competition as well. Now, though, Chelsea fans, I mean, how can they support Chelsea when everybody else looks at Chelsea and goes, bleh. And then after you do that, you've got that taste. You know when you do a burp and a bit of sick comes up into your mouth? That's what happens to a normal person when they consider supporting Chelsea. So why can Chelsea fans do it? With me to discuss the matter is our resident professor, Dr. Godfrey Twatchlock. Dr. Godfrey, welcome to the Arsecast.
Thank you very much. It's an absolute pleasure to be back on your show.
Oh, very good to have you back on the show indeed. Now, as Arsenal fans, we're used to being correct and right and having made good choices in life. And for us, it's very difficult to look at, you know, Chelsea fans and wonder how is it they can view Chelsea and see these people that are wearing their shirts and not be disgusted by this, essentially, an abomination of nature. What's going on?
Well, I think the very first thing that we need to stress is that people, normal people I should say, have a natural aversion to the colour blue. For example, if we go back to the 1980s and take that terrible, terrible band Deacon Blue. I mean, they were just awful. And they had a ship called Dignity, apparently. I mean, who gives a good goddamn what their ship was called? It could be called Big Hairy Bollocks, for all I care. The fact is, nobody liked them. And the reasons are twofold. Firstly, because their music was terrible, but more importantly, because they had the word blue in their name. Now, another example. I had a teddy when I was growing up. He was called Bluey, and I called him that because he was blue. Now, he had the deadest, most soulless eyes you ever saw in your life. I had to have years of therapy from the nights I would wake up and I'd see him staring at me, those eyes glistening in the moonlight. It was awful. And then you have people feeling blue, for example, and that is not a good feeling. So all these blue associations are negative. In fact, the only cultural reference we could find to blue that people found in any way positive was Betty Blue. And that's because she was, you know, naked all the time and quite hot and had a marvellous bush. Anyway, I'm straying from the point. We did some research. We needed to find out why it was that Chelsea fans were not averse to the colour blue like normal people. So we rounded some up and we took skin samples and hair samples and sent off DNA and did biological and genealogical testing. Once we got that information, you see, we got it all together and fed it into our supercomputer. Sadly, due to budgetary cutbacks, our supercomputer has been moved to Bangladesh, so it took some time for that information to come back to us. We collated all those reports and in the end it became quite clear to us why it was that normal people hate Chelsea and Chelsea fans don't.
And what is the reason?
Well, it's because they're cunts.
You know, I love science. How can you argue with science? Dr. Godfrey Twitch, thank you very much indeed.
Splendid to be here. Until next time, ta-ta.
You know, in order to be able to hate something properly, you need to understand it, right? Otherwise, it's just a bit rednecky, isn't it? A bit Sarah Palin. I don't like it because it's different. Look, it's a different colour. Look, it smells funny. Oh, look how many limbs it's got that I don't have. Look, it says words that I don't understand. What does that mean? Thesaurus? What's that? No, now we've got the scientific explanation and everybody can direct their ire correctly and with knowledge at those Chelsea fans. Our team news ahead of the weekend, of course, Gibbs is out. We know that. Nobody else is coming back, as far as I know. William Gallas is a doubt, a big question mark, Arsene says, and that's at Thursday night. I know you're listening to this Friday, but obviously you're not listening to it live. So this is recorded Thursday night, and William Gallas is a doubt because he's still got a big swollen eye, like a prize fighter. And he needs contact lenses. And he can't get his contact lenses in because his eye won't open. So, obviously, they're going to have him on a very, very strict medical regime over the weekend. He is going to be lying down with bags of bird's eye peas over his eyes for the entire weekend. So, you have to hope that he's going to be fit because, you know, I don't want to see Sylvester at centre-half. And we don't know where Senderos is. And, you know, I'm a Senderos fan. I like him. I think he's a good player. I think he's been a bit unfortunate and what have you. But, you know, if you ask me, do I really, really, really want him to play against Drogba again? I'm not sure that I do. Not tomorrow, or Sunday anyway. It's a big, big game. A big, 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 big game. And then next week, of course, we've got Carling Cup action in midweek against Manchester City. We travel to the Middle East lands and two of our star midfielders could be missing. Jack Wilshere has got a recurrence of his ankle problem, which is a real shame because we haven't seen enough of him this season. We were hoping to see him in the last round, but he got injured. And Fran Morita was sent off in midweek, scorer of that great goal against Liverpool. He was sent off during the week in a reserve game against Aston Villa for a scuffle with Fabian Delph. Delph is a useless surname when you think about it. It's like being called Bob Crockery. And who would pay any attention to someone called Bob Crockery? Not me, I can tell you that. So, anyway, remember, Sunday, they're coming to our stadium. Them. Lampard, who has recovered from an injury which everyone said was going to keep him out. Apparently he went for the placenta treatment as a we're speaking with Darrell O'Brien about earlier. But I can reveal, having just got some first-hand information, that it went a step further. Lampard, in order to recover, had to have fresh cunt rubbed all over his injury. Seriously. Ashley Cole wasn't happy, but it seems to have done the trick, so he could play. So Lampard will be there. Ashley Cole will be there. Drogba will be there. Anelka will be there. John Terry will be there. They'll all be there. In our stadium, polluting the pure greenness of our pitch with their essence, their blueness. So as a crowd, if you're going, remind them what you think of them. Remind them that science tells you that they are cunts and that Arsenal naturally are not cunts. We need a big, big performance on Sunday. I'm really hopeful. Really hopeful. Because I think it could be almost like a stepping stone. A kind of kick forward. After a while, you go up, you plateau, and then you need something to kick you on again. And I'm hoping this Sunday is going to be that. Because if we win this game, if we win our game in hand against Bolton, 2 points is the only difference. 2 points is nothing in November. Nothing. However, 11 points, even with a game in hand, is a lot. Maybe too much. So this is a game we cannot afford to lose. It's a little bit similar to the Manchester United game last season. Just before we lost to City and we lost to Aston Villa, we had this game because I think we'd lost to Hull and we'd lost to Stoke, was it? Not too long previously. And then we had that performance at home when Nasri scored those 2 goals. And it was, you know, it was like, yes, this team can do something. And then, of course, it all went tits up, but never mind. You get the feeling that this team, if they beat Chelsea, will kick on from there. So keep all your fingers crossed, all of them, if you wouldn't mind. Now, final thing before we go this week is Savile Rogue scarf time. A chance to win one, and the winner of last week's. Last week's question was something like, which Arsenal player ran the length of the pitch to score a goal against Spurs and ran the other length of the pitch to go and celebrate in front of them? The baying horde of mingers. And the answer, of course, was Thierry Henry. A lot of talk about him last week. Funnily enough, seems to have died down this week. The winner of last week's scarf was Paul Evans. Well done to you, Paul. I'll be in touch. We'll get that scarf out to you as soon as possible. To win a scarf this week, all you have to do is answer this question. Earlier on, Dara O'Brien said he played a particular sport rather than football as a younger man. It's an Irish sport. What was it? Very simple. If you've heard the interview, you'll know exactly what it was. If you haven't heard the interview, then what are you doing at this part of the Arsecast? So what sport did Dara O'Brien play? Answer, please, to competition@arseblog.com. That is competition@arseblog.com. Winner on next week's Arsecast. And don't forget, until December the 6th, you can get yourself a 10% discount on a Savile Rogue scarf by using the code ARSBLOG when you check out. So that's use the code ARSBLOG at SavileRogue.com. That's Savile-Rogue.com. The best football scarves you will find anywhere. So your chance to win one and your chance to buy one at a cheaper price than anybody else. How can you say fairer than that? You just can't. So that's it. Here's to a big, big win on Sunday. A smiting of the minging horrible cunts, and us going closer to the top of the table, and everything staying good and rosy, and the alternative doesn't really bear thinking about. So until next week's Arsecast, take it easy. Talk to you all week on the blog, and of course on next week's show. All right then, bye bye.
Hello, David O'Leary here, and nice to be back on the Arsecast. I have to say, I had a good old listen there, as we say, to Dara O'Brien, and he was talking about the night that he had the pleasure of meeting me. And as we say, you know, it was a good old night. I had to set him straight about Sammy Nelson, and to be fair to Derek, I don't think he'll be making that mistake again. But we had a good old chat about football, as we say, and comedy. And a lot of people thought back in the day that it was Steve Gatting that was the big comedy man in the Arsenal dressing room. But it was, as we say, me I was the joker in the pack, and nowadays it's all a bit flat. You don't have your O'Learys or your David O'Learys or your spiders in the dressing room anymore. And as we say, I was happy to give him a bit of advice, you know. A few, as we say, pointers in the right direction for his stage show, which, as we say, is very good. But if you've got the chance to talk to a comedy genius like myself, as we say, then you'd be mad to turn it down. And told him my favourite joke, which is, why don't you borrow, as we say, money off a leprechaun? And the answer is, of course, that they're always, as we say, a little bit short. I laughed. He laughed too. He said he'd use it in the show. And as we say, why wouldn't he? I mean, I'm David O'Leary. So I am.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.